Let's look at this passage, and we're going to see from this passage, first of all, that mankind is created in three parts. Notice in the Word of God in verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul," that's one part, "and spirit," that's another part, "and joints and marrow," that's a third part. Man is created in three parts. We are created in three parts. It's mentioned spirit, soul, and body. Oftentimes I'll mention just in this order because I'm used to it, or it's habit, body, soul, and spirit. What are these three parts? It's pretty simple in and of themselves to understand the body. The body is how we relate to the physical world. The body is, obviously, I pick up the remote and I click it with my hand. That's the, so I relate to the physical world with my body. What is the soul? The soul is made up of our mind, our will, and emotions, and it's how we relate to other people. You ever hear someone say, "That's my soulmate"? Well, that's talking about the soul. So we have body, that's the physical, how we relate to the physical world. Our soul, that's our mind, our will, and emotions. Oftentimes, it's the word soul is from the word psyche, Greek word psyche in the New Testament, and it means mind. And it means mind. So it doesn't mean your gray matter of the brain, that's the physical brain. The mind is that thinking where you have the emotions and you have the will to decide and you have your reasoning. That's the soul. That's how we relate to other people. What is the human spirit? I believe every person is created in three parts. And we're going to see the spirit as well. The spirit is how we relate to God. In this passage, we see the soul and the spirit and also the joints and marrow. That would be, of course, the bones and the marrow that produces the blood cells within the bones. That's talking about the physical. Does any other passage talk about this? Yes, it does. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians and find, if you will, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." So set you apart to God wholly. That is your whole entire being. Okay? "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have the three, the spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that the direction or the implication of the order of the spirit, soul, and body in that order is significant as well. That the Holy Spirit really wants to change us from the inside out. But here, just understanding that as a human, I have a body, that's how I relate to the physical world. I have a soul, that's how I relate to other people. But the spirit is how I relate to God. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But when we're born physically, are we born right with God? No. Are we born in God's family? You say, again, no. No, we're not. So when we're born, I believe we're born with the human spirit that's evil. That's the old man that the Bible talks about in Romans. It is that sinful part of us that is not right with God. Our human spirit is not right with God. And so we must be born again. What is being born again? Being born again is when we have a new spirit. We receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and we are having a spiritual birth. Why? Because the human spirit we have is wrong. It's evil. It's against God. We need a new birth. And when we see that new birth takes place, we see that the Holy Spirit comes within us. We have spirit, soul, and body. If we can put it in this way, just to be able to recognize spirit, soul, and body, what part does the Holy Spirit come into? What part does the Holy Spirit come into? Well, the body's, let's look at the Bible and let's see a couple passages. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, find, if you will, verse 16. It says this, 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" It doesn't tell us specifically, but obviously it dwells in you. Now, this is speaking to those that have been born again, those that are believers in Jesus Christ, those that trust Jesus Christ for their eternal life, Him as their Savior. The Holy Spirit indwells them, and He says, "Now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost." Look at chapter 6 and verse 19. Chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" Again, just in you. "Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Okay, so the Holy Spirit indwells. He lives inside of the person that has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Whether you knew it or not, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came to move inside of you. He's now indwelling in you. He's living in you. What part did He move inside of? I believe the Holy Spirit of God dwells in the human spirit of man. Otherwise, where else could He dwell that doesn't have sin? And our body would still not be glorified. Our soul is still not perfect. We would know that. The only part of you that's made new is the spirit. That part has been born again. Listen to Ezekiel. The Bible says this in verse 36 and 26. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." I believe it's the Spirit that's made new, and the Holy Spirit moves inside of the spirit of man. So now the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the human spirit. Look at the example of the temple or the tabernacle of the Old Testament. It's made up in three main parts: the outer court, the holies, and then the holy of holies. Now the outer court. Who could see the outer court? Everybody could see the outer court. That's where they would bring their sacrifices. They placed their hand on the head of the animal that would die for them. And the priest would receive the animals and have the sacrifices and such. And everybody could see that. The outer court's kind of like our body. Everybody sees my outside. Everybody sees my physical. But then the second part of the temple or the tabernacle was the holies. Who could go in the holies? Anyone? No. Only the priest that was designated for the specific job. So the priest would go into the holies. That's you. That's representing, I believe, your soul. Only you are in there. The real you is on the inside, your soul, your mind, your will, emotion, from which comes your personality and your unique identity. It's your soul. But where did God dwell specifically in the tabernacle or the temple? In the holy of holies. That's where God dwelt. I believe in the most inner part of you is your spirit. And so we have our body. Yes, within our body is our soul. And if we could say within our soul, the most inner part of you, the heart of man, the spirit of man, is the center of you, your existence. And that's the part that was made new. That's the part that the Holy Spirit is indwelling. He's inside of you. Do you notice in Hebrews chapter 4 that the marrow, it says discerning and dividing between soul and spirit. We'll get to that in a little bit. And then as cuts through and pierces even the between the marrow and the joints and marrow. Okay, where are the joints or the bones? That's underneath. You can't see that. It's kind of like the outside is your body. The inside, the bone, is kind of like the soul. Inside the soul is the, or in the bone, is the marrow. What does the marrow do? It produces the blood cells. It produces the life. The only life we have is the Spirit of God. I believe the most inner part of us, where the Spirit of God dwells, is our human spirit. That's the part that's made new. That's the part where the seed of God lives. That's the divine nature inside of you. And isn't it incredible? In 1 Corinthians it says, "What? Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost?" It says that twice. You know why? You should know this. You should have in the forefront of your mind and your thinking, as I'm going throughout my day, you know what? The Holy Spirit is inside of me. I have God Almighty in me. And that should change everything. And that should change how I react to people, how I respond, how I interact. And we need to allow God to do a spiritual surgery. Why is this spiritual surgery taking place? Okay, we're created in these three parts. We believe the Holy Spirit dwells in the most inner part of us, in our human spirit that's made new. But why would it say again in Hebrews 4:12, dividing between soul and spirit? Let's go back to our text, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. What is it talking about dividing between soul and spirit? It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. Here's a spiritual surgery, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, sunder of soul and spirit. Why would there need to be a separation or a dividing asunder of soul and spirit? What is that talking about? What is that talking about? Well, we need to understand this. Yes, I'm created in three parts. The Spirit of God dwells in the human spirit of man when we trust Christ as Savior. But we need to recognize this, that only the Holy Spirit of God, taking His instrument of choice, the Word of God, can divide and determine our spiritual condition, can recognize spiritual life and soul life or soulish life. What is that type of life? The spiritual life is the new man. It's the Spirit of God when He's leading you, when He's enabling you, when He is empowering you. The soul life is you. It's the natural man. When it's talking about natural man, it's talking about your soul. What you can do in your analytics, your mind. What you can do, I'm going to do this. This is my will. I'm determined to do it. Okay, that's your soul. I just feel like I have a peace that God wants me to do. That's your emotions. That is you. And the reality is this. You can't see your own true spiritual condition apart from God, the Spirit of God using the Word of God. Only the Word of God used by the Spirit of God can come in and divide between soul life and spiritual life. You see, when you and I see each other, we just see the body. We don't see it. Inside of us is our soul, and inside of us is our spirit. But the Word of God is dividing between these two to help us understand our true spiritual condition. Our natural man is the soul, what we're doing. I'm supposed to be a good husband. All right, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll make that decision. I'm going to be a good husband. Okay. All right. Try to love your wife like Christ loved the church. I remember when we were first married, and I'm reading Ephesians 5 now, a few months after being married. I'm sitting there in our apartment reading Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so now it's a new light, right? I'm 3 months married or whatever. And I'm reading it. You know what I said out loud? I said, I can't do that. I'm glad my wife wasn't around. What? Bam! She wouldn't hit me, okay? But why? Was I saying it because of her? No, I was saying it because of me. Me. I can't do it. You can't do it either, men. There's no way. We talked about last night, agape love comes from God. It is God's love. So you can't duplicate it. You have to have the original source. Love through you. Because God is love. You cannot have love without the person of God. There's no way. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you're not going to have a marriage like you ought to. And you're not going to have the family like you ought to. We need to be not dwelling in natural. Well, some ladies here, I'm just submissive. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're human. You have a natural person of yourself, and you have a flesh to have to deal with. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You know what? From the very beginning, Eve was going against and out from under the authority of her husband. It's true. You can't do it naturally. Then how about training your children? We're going to be talking about that more in detail the next message and then tonight as well. about training children? You can't do it naturally. Well, I've read some psychiatric books and how to deal with kids. And I've read these things, and you know, I'm just going to do it. Well, you can have the academics, but unless the spiritual man is really doing it, it's not going to take place. See, we can't do it naturally. There are teenagers in here, and you're struggling with your relationship with your parents. Or young people in here, you're struggling with your relationship with your parents. Because you're not empowered and led by the Spirit. You're trying to do it on your own. And you see, the soul, the natural you, tries to do some good things in its own strength. And for its own glory. Look, if you will, at Hebrews 4:12, the last part of it. It says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God can tell only truly and discern. This word of God, used by the Spirit of God, can really discern your thoughts. Your thoughts, you know what's going to happen? Is you're going to deceive yourself. The heart, the Bible says this, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Do you know the rest of it? Who can know it? You know, the Bible answers the question in the next verse in Jeremiah. It says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins. Will you allow God to reveal to you areas that you are going on the natural man for your own self? You can't discern your own thoughts. The Spirit of God has to. But not only that, the intents. That's your motive. That's the why you do what you do. In the Bible, why is it that you do what you do? Why did you interact that way with your spouse? Why did you do that with your children? Why? Self. Self-glorification, self-love, self-will. It's self, 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 self. What we need God to do is a spiritual surgery to show us, you know what? I'm more full of self than I realize. That's why my marriage, or that's why my family relationships aren't what they ought to be. Is it sweet? Is it harmonious? Is it close? Is it intimate? Is it what it ought to be? None of us, especially this guy on the platform, have arrived in our relationships. We need God to continue to reveal to us how much of soul and natural man we have. And so he can say, all right, what you need to do is be filled with the Spirit, the spiritual man. The only way for us to function in our families like we ought to is to be able to be filled with the Spirit. Now we're doing things for the right reason, the intents of the heart. I do it for God's glory. I do it to meet that person's need. I'm not going through saying, why don't you do this for me? Why can't you do this? Why don't you listen to me? When you're doing this and you're focused on self, you're not going to have a harmonious and a sweet, gracious spirit in your home. What we need to do is say, dear God, I'm doing it for others and for your glory. I'm here to serve others and meet their needs. If everyone in your family had that, it would help. And there's so many teenagers, you're just wrapped up about yourself. If your parents need something, you don't even see it. If there's something you could do to help them, you don't even take the initiative to do anything about it. Why? Because you're so lazy, you're focused on yourself. Was that a little bit direct? It was. But it's true. Too many teenagers are just flat out lazy. Why is that? Natural man. Self. Serving self. I don't feel like it. I'm watching a movie. I'm playing a video game. I'm on a device. I'm reading. And you're not meeting the needs. You're not seeking God on your own. Having spiritual time with God. Devotions. Spending time with the Lord. It's not even something that you constantly, consistently do. No wonder you're struggling with being the right type of son or daughter. Is because you're not being spirit-filled, spirit-led. And you can't understand right now as a teenager that you need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and do things for His glory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about Even with us in context, it says, "What know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" And so it talks about that in context. It's about the judgment seat of Christ. We will stand before the Lord Jesus, and all those things that are wood, hay, and stubble be burned up. All those things of precious metals, all those things of eternal value will withstand the fire. The fire isn't to punish. The fire is to determine value and for us to be able to gain reward. And it says, take heed how you build. The foundation is Jesus Christ. You got to build a house, okay? You want to build a family? Take heed how you build. You can't do it on your own. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You can't build your home. You can't build a godly home on your own. So it's not only talking about the why, the motive, the intents of the heart, but also our dependency. Will you depend upon God, saying, God, I need you to do this. Now, as we understand our soul and our spirit, the natural man, there's that battle there. We need to understand as well, there's this battle with the flesh, this battle with the body and our spiritual appetites and this fleshly desire to do what is wrong. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. Notice in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 17, the Bible says this, Galatians 5 and verse 17. Galatians 5, verse 17, it says this, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So our desires throughout the day, our decisions that we're going to make throughout the day are between the flesh and the spirit. Yes, that soul, that natural man, is going to want to do things that are going to be yielded to the flesh and our appetites of the flesh. The spirit is going to want us to do those things that are right. Every decision you're making is a spiritual decision. Would we recognize that? Decisions throughout our day are not insignificant, and they're not irrelevant to our relationships. They are spiritual decisions that affect or influence our relationships. So are you making spiritual decisions like you ought? Are you doing the things that you ought to make the spiritual decisions that you ought to? We talked about, and we'll talk about in the next service as well, in Galatians 5, the two different types of steps that we need to make. Each time, I believe this, when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're taking a step, it's a decision. It's a decision. It's a decision. And all decisions ultimately are spiritual decisions. Can I get a couple of young men to help me out to illustrate this? I need two young men, teenagers, if I could, just to volunteer. I want to come help me out? All right. Tell me your name.
Levi.
Levi. All right. Here's Levi. I need one other young man. One other young man. Come on up here, Levi. You can be over here. And I need one other young man. Anybody? Anybody? All right. I'm going to pick just Jonathan. This is my son. All right, my son Jonathan. All right, so we have over here. We're gonna have Levi. You're gonna be the spirit, and you're gonna be the flesh. Sorry, buddy. and I'm gonna be the soul. All right, come on over a little closer. All right, so here we are, body, soul, and spirit. This is just for basics right now. We'll just call him the flesh as well. Okay, and so in the soul, I have the decision. Every day, am I going to walk in the spirit or I'm going to walk in the flesh? So each decision. Okay, so mom and dad, let's say, tells a young person, hey, you're not going to wear that. You get back in your room and you change your clothes right now. You're not wearing that. No. Okay, now your choice. Will you be in the flesh? Or we be in the spirit. Now watch. When I choose to follow the flesh, it goes this way. Go ahead and pivot. No, follow me this way. This way. There you go. when I'm going this way, I'm now walking in the spirit. I said, and go ahead and take a step. I go, what in the world? Come on. And what in the world? Other young people wear that too. What did I just do? I made a decision. It was a spiritual decision to reject being spirit-filled, and I'm reacting in the wrong way. I'm following the flesh. I want to wear that thing. Okay? How about your spouse says something to you that's a little cutting, or maybe you take it just the wrong way. And now, I can't believe they said that. They didn't intend that, but you took it the wrong way, and now you have a choice. Will I be forgiving and follow the Spirit, or will I be in the flesh and take offense when offense wasn't even intended? Take a step. He takes a step. And look here. Do you notice this? As I'm walking in the flesh, what's happening to the Spirit? The Spirit's following. The Holy Spirit's always with me, but He's grieved. He's grieved when I'm walking in the flesh. We are walking in the flesh. We're grieving the Spirit of God, and we're rendering His power in our lives ineffective. So the Holy Spirit convicts us. Would you tap me on the shoulder? He says, hey, you need to come this way. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't say, you're coming this way. You know, he doesn't force me. He says, well, you come this way. You know, I need to be right with my parents. I need to be right. You know what? Mom and Dad, okay, I'll go change my clothes. I'm sorry for my action, reaction that way. And so we take a step, just take one step. And he's really wanting to lead, isn't he? And I make a decision that's a spiritual decision led by the Spirit. When we have that word that's spoken and wasn't intended to be offensive from our spouse, and they didn't really mean that way, I'm not going to take offense. I'm going to forgive them for that. They weren't necessarily thinking that way. Do you take a step? He takes a step. Notice this, when I'm walking in the Spirit, what happens to the flesh? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's always there, but I'm rendering Him powerless because now I'm walking in the Spirit. Each time we make a decision, we're going one way or the other. And let's just stand right here and face everybody because we're enjoying this so much, aren't we? Okay. You know what? There's never a time when we're just right here. It's kind of neutral. Well, are you walking in the Spirit or are you walking in the flesh? Neither. I'm just hanging out. Where are you hanging out? Just kind of no man's zone. There's no man's zone. Did you notice how many options there are in Galatians 5:17? The Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And these are contrary one to another. There's only two options. Spirit led, flesh led. Spirit dependent, flesh dependent. That's our only two choices. So at any part of our day, we're never neutral. We're either going this way, in the flesh, or we're heading this way, in the Spirit. And each time we make a decision, it's going one way or the other. And the reason why there's conflict and contention and difficulty in our relationships is so much we allow the soul, the self, to just say, you deserve to go this way. They hurt you. Go ahead. Do your own thing. Follow the flesh. And we are having so many relationship issues because we're not walking in the Spirit. Each decision you make are spiritual decisions. Thank you so much. You can be seated. So, where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Would you recognize this? You're not in no man's zone. Your relationship of walking in the Spirit directly relates and impacts those around you. How much of your day and how much of your decisions did you make dependent upon the flesh? Just think back this last week. Man, there's so many decisions. I didn't even ask the Spirit of God. I didn't even think, what should I do? I just made the decision. And when I made the decision, I went one way or the other. By natural default, here's our setting. It's this way. So if we don't consciously yield to the Spirit and depend upon Him and walk in the Spirit this way, you know what? When we're making decisions on our own, natural man, selfish decisions, just going along, this is the way we're going, further and further and further away from the Lord. And we wonder, why is there so much friction? Why is there so much contention in my family? Because each decision are spiritual decisions. Are you reacting in the flesh to those around you? Are you responding in the Spirit? When you're walking in the Spirit, then you can be able to make the decisions that you ought to and that you need to. Would you say, "Dear God, would you help me to walk in the Spirit, to make the spiritual decisions I need to, each step, spiritual decision, either the wrong way or the right way? Would you, by God's grace, trust Him?" Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it? Lord, I ask that you'd help us in our relationships and the next service especially. Lord, would you help us to be dependent upon you to be able to really influence our families like we ought to. Lord, work in our hearts, I pray, and I ask for your blessings in all that we do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.